I'm keen to have this conversation and welcome back Haji Mohammed Dorji to our show. She's author and columnist and has been on the show before about some of her great journalism. Unfortunately, she has gotten to the front of a story in a way that has been personally affecting in much more of an extent than I think she would like. We all know COVID-19 to affect you for some 10 to 14 days. However, she was affected by the disease for at least, if not well over a month, with experiencing symptoms that were really difficult to pinpoint, treat, and I suppose, you know, kept us abreast of this with a range of tweets enlightening us of what she was experiencing. Haji, welcome back to Breakfast with Rufilo. Thanks so much for sharing the story.
Thanks so much for having me on the show again.
Of course. How are you feeling today?
I'm okay. I get out of breath really quickly, so that's why I'm out of breath now, because I didn't move. Literally just changed rooms.
Oh my goodness!
But it was a bit quiet, but I've got on days and off days, more off than on. My wife actually reminded me that it's been more than 30 days. It's been 7 weeks now that I've had this.
Jeepers. Haji, just help me understand. So what are some of the symptoms that have stayed with you well beyond the 14 days that we are familiar with?
Well, funnily enough, like the symptoms that are listed on the World Health Organization website and, you know, the official websites and stuff are quite minimal. They're like a few. They're like respiratory problems, sore throat, etc. I mean, we all know them by now. Lack of smell and taste.
Yes.
But a lot of the symptoms that I experienced, well, I got a cough, which actually turned out to be a secondary bacterial infection from COVID. So the doctor gave me antibiotics for that, and that sorted the cough out. But now and then I still have a coughing spell, sort of on and off, depending on how fatigued my body is. The fatigue has been a massive, massive issue. Fogginess, lack of concentration, forgetfulness. I'm a writer. I know how to spell a lot of words, but I mean, sometimes it can take me up to half an hour to figure out how to spell a very simple word.
That, we've heard about that. I mean, I've heard that in terms of other people's feedback from around the world, the memory, this memory sort of slight gaps. You also have these strange physical, or unfamiliar, let me not say not strange, but unfamiliar physical impacts like pain in your face, and your ears ringing.
Yeah, lots of ears ringing. And it almost makes a person feel like they're going a little bit mad, because I've had a migraine now with a break in between for almost 7 days.
Oh my goodness.
Straight, which nothing is helping. Like I can't even tell you the amount of over-the-counter medications I've tried. I got so desperate the other night that I actually took cannabis oil and just rubbed it all over my scalp, because I couldn't pinpoint where the pain was, you know, coming from. Because like a normal headache, sometimes it's a tension headache.
That's
and
right.
Sometimes it's a, you know, like whatever.
When you take this to your doctor, I mean, what is the response? As I say, I keep hearing these anecdotes from around the world, but barely in South Africa. How easily are they able to kind of assist?
Well, there's just very little research. So, I mean, the go-to is to take vitamin D and vitamin B and zinc and magnesium and vitamin C and all these kinds of things, which, I mean, I'm up to about, I think, 14 pills a day. That includes, like, my chronic medication for anxiety and depression, which is also now through the roof, because, I mean, it's not nice not knowing how you're going to feel moment to moment.
Right.
Like I said, you just feel like you're going, you know, you're getting a little bit mad. So I started to join all these groups and forums. Around. I haven't found a South African one yet. So if there is one, I think you should probably advertise it a bit.
Yes.
But I found lots of international ones where we can all sort of feel our way through this together.
And it must be difficult for you. Yeah, I mean, Haji, you're a journalist. So you're about fact over anecdote, I guess.
Exactly.
And you're about like data and research. And now you're finding yourself in a situation where you have to go to Facebook groups where we know that there's a lot of, you know, misinformation at times.
100%, yeah.
At
least I know to an extent these are people that are going through the same things.
Right.
I am. And I also, I mean, because I am a journalist, I luckily have access to information that perhaps other people don't. Like, the other day there was a parliamentary conversation in the UK about a bunch of people who initially had worked on HIV and treatment for HIV, etc., you know, years ago, who are now asking for more money for research to sort of find out about long COVID and the neurological shortfalls of it and the neurological symptoms that you see. I can't even pronounce words sometimes.
Okay. But I mean, so you're young and fit, and I'm wondering whether the other people that you speak to in your groups, are you finding any either demographic, biological links?
According to you know, some of the research that is out there, some of the actual research papers, and I'm not talking about like weird articles from like weird places on Facebook. Some of the actual research is starting to say that fitter, younger people who have not been hospitalized or haven't actually experienced the 10 to 14 days symptomatically as bad tend to suffer from long-haul COVID a bit more. I mean, a friend of mine, Robin Gore, now, who's been in the, you know, health industry for ages and policy writing, all sorts of things from the UK, has had it now for over 100 days and has developed arthritis in her knee. And she's also, I mean, she's older, but she's quite healthy. So that all these developmental things, you know, that are sort of coming out, and people, doctors don't have answers, and I get that, because we don't know, we don't have enough information to know what it's connected to, what the long-term effects are. There's some reports of people losing, you know, eyesight in one of their eyes or both of their eyes, or so it's just, yeah, it's a mishmash of things that is hard to prove, because, like I say, there hasn't been research. But I'm glad people in the UK are, you know, the organisations and doctors and researchers and scientists who are taking steps to now try find funding to look into this a little bit more.
Are there any? I mean, in terms of how you're feeling, are there any symptoms that have abated? Do they happen often? All at the same time. I mean, seeing, you know, compared to the week one, we're on week seven now or eight, week eight. Is there anything that's improving?
The fatigue is not as constant as it was. And also the delirium and the confusion. But it does, like I said, there's no way of telling when it's just going to hit you. Mm-hmm. Like, I can have a morning where I'm totally functional and cleaning the house. And then by 11 a.m., I'm totally just, you know, I'm out. I'm out for the count, and I can't do anything, and my body feels like concrete. I get severe pains from my neck all the way down into my calves and my ankles.
Sure.
And that's not from physical exertion, because I've tried to exercise. It just comes and sort of goes. And like I say, the weird thing is I've tested my oxygen intake several times, and it's good. My lungs are healthy, but I still get shortness of breath.
Sure. Well, we'll leave it there, Haji, and give you a moment to catch your breath. Thank you so much for giving us so much insight. I hope it gets even better. And, you know, we'll reach out to our listeners also. I hope maybe if there's anyone doing a study, as you rightly say, a local group would be very helpful just to understand.
100%, yeah. And I'm sure there are other people in South Africa who are going through this and feeling this as well. You know, I think my message to them is just that, you know, especially if you, even if you don't suffer from a mental illness, I think anxiety is one of the biggest things that comes as a side effect of having this for so long, because I'm definitely not contagious, but still suffering. And I just want everyone to know that you're not going mad. This is a real thing that people are suffering from.
Indeed it is. Thank you so much, Haji Mohammed Dorji, author and columnist, and bravely facing the symptoms of COVID-19. Are you seeing something similar yourself, a loved one, and how does it affect you? And is there any place for support here in South Africa? Let us know on 0725671567.